Welcome to Loveline. Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Are you ready? Then brace yourself.
This is Loveline with Kevin Kenny and Dr. Tara.
Call or text 833-LOVE-191.
Loveline is on now.
You know, my favorite part of that intro isn't how many times they say Loveline. It isn't even how many times they say K-Rock. It's the disclaimer that runs that says, Loveline may contain sexual material. That's like saying Muggs may be late for work tomorrow.
How dare you?
It is Kevin Kenny. Dr. Tara's in the house.
Woo!
Say hello, Dr. Tara, so they know I'm a lion.
Hello.
There you are. Producer Muggs is here.
Yo!
And we're going to get down to the nitty gritty. You already got some good callers, I heard, Muggs?
Yep, got a couple lined up.
Muggs, give out the phone number for those that want to get involved.
1-833-LOVE-191.
Oh, that's amazing. You know what that feels like? Honestly, I really mean this with all my heart. It's like I have three beautiful dogs at home. It's when I teach them a new trick, and then they do it. And I go, paw, and they do paw on the first trick. That's amazing.
Thank you.
That you did that. That's awesome, Muggs.
Appreciate it.
And you know what? I think everyone kind of performs better at work. I don't know if there's any research backing this up, but just, you know, a little inkling that I've seen in other people is when they're getting laid and when they're happy and when they're in love and when their relationships are in line and their personal life is going well, they do a better job at work. And I think maybe Muggs...
Yeah,
maybe what you're going through right now, as unlikely as it was, as likely as it's been, as unexpected as it is to say this, I could have never seen you in the type of relationship you're in right now, and I've known you for a while. I know the types of women you've been with, and I'm not saying that in a disparaging way.
Yeah,
but,
you are.
No. There's just, you know, it's like there's a profile to a woman, and we've talked about it. If you want to go back, if this is your first Loveline episode you're listening to, episode one, we dive into Muggs' past love life of, everybody from, women that abuse the bottle also to cannibalism. You know, so you've really covered it.
Run the gamut.
You've run the gamut. But never have I ever seen Muggs in the type of romantic relationship that this man is in right now. And it is of the sugar mama variety. And this is something that I am desperately... Well, I'm happy for you, but that's sort of short-lived. That's sort of the near-term reaction, Muggs. I am more so concerned because I've never been in a sugar mama relationship. I've never been a sugar daddy to anyone. And I've had an aversion to the concept, and this is why, is because I think that we've heard from callers, I believe, where these expectations are created when money is exchanged, right? Mm-hmm. Dr. Tara here, the leading sex expert, if you're new to Loveline, she's the leading sex expert of this generation. Absolutely massive. Love Bites on social.
Mm-hmm.
Where can people find you, Tara?
LUVBITES.CO, lovebites.co.
You sound like Gwen Stefani just there spelling bananas, didn't you?
LUVBITES.CO.
Exactly. Listen to Muggs.
Yeah. As if my joke wasn't enough. We needed that. you're this leading expert, Tara, and you've shared data before about maybe the downsides of what people expect on dates when money's exchanged and how the expectation of sex, it goes up when people spend money, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're having dinner on a date, you're more likely to get laid. And I hate to put that out there because now every guy's going to take a girl out to dinner. But it is true. You're probably more likely to get laid off of dinner than you are coffee and especially off of walks, as Dr. Tara has mentioned. And so I worry about Muggs here because sometimes I feel like things don't occur to Muggs. And so he's accepting all these gifts from this woman, and they're not just like little gifts. What they are is like he'll post on social media, and it's so funny because he'll supposed to be like I'm expecting him to be at work, right? I host the night show on K-Rock, and he's supposed to be there helping produce my night show. And then I'll go on social media and I'll go, oh, where is he? Maybe he's out in the parking lot. And he's at a Dodgers game. And he's not just at a Dodgers game. He's at a Dodgers game on the first baseline.
Oh.
And he's like just feet from Shohei Ohtani. And I'm going, Muggs has the money for that? And he goes, no. My sugar mama, she got him for me. So that the first time it happened, I go, that's nice. Maybe she got him through work or something. That always happens in LA, right? Somebody knows somebody. And then Muggs went to a Thursday night football game, and again, these were amazing seats. This was like a highly, I know you're not huge into sports, but this was a highly sought after game. And I said, how did you get to that game? It was a sugar mama. So Muggs, what is going on with this whole sugar mama thing?
First of all, Kevin, I don't refer to her as a sugar mama in conversation.
You can refer to her whatever you want.
Yeah, I know. But okay, so it's a woman I'm seeing, and she has a very good job.
Mm-hmm.
And these seats to these sporting events are through her work. So technically, she's not shelling out any dough.
Okay, but she's still providing you the resources. Like, she, right. Don't you think she is sort of like, breadwinner obviously wouldn't be the correct term, but basically she is the provider. Thank you, Dr. Tara. She's the provider in this dynamic. And don't you think that the more she provides for you, she's going to expect something? I don't know her. I don't know what that's going to be, but does that worry you at all with this sugar mama dynamic you've got going on? Whether or not you want to call her that, that's your prerogative.
No, I mean, I do reciprocate. So if I do get invited to one of these games, I make sure that I'm buying the drinks or I'm buying the food, which is
okay.
Almost probably the same price at the end as a ticket. I think it's pretty 50-50.
Okay.
So I don't consider this like me just taking and accepting gifts.
I totally thought that Mux was a sugar baby.
Well, you don't think he is a little bit?
He has sugar baby potential.
Okay, but no, he does. He does. He does. Yeah. He does. And I mean, boy, if this guy...
Emphasis on baby.
I offered, just for context, if you're listening to Loveline and you're new to sort of the voices you're hearing, Muggs is a guy that I've worked with at K-Rock, and he's produced my show on and off for about 2.5 years. And maybe 18 months ago, one night, I was just feeling generous. And I said, hey, man, I'm going to go to the vending machine on the third floor here at K-Rock. Would you like anything? And so he's like, yeah, man. And so he's really grateful, right? And every single night for the past 18 months since that night, he has asked me if we can go to the vending machine. So the guy loves a great handout, right? Like, you know, like when I go, I took him to Ralph's one time and I got him his sushi. He likes from Ralph's grocery store. And then it's like every week, once a week, hey man, you thinking about, what are you doing? And I'm like, yeah. Nothing. And he's like, you thinking about going to Ralph's? So he likes a great, this guy loves a good deal. So I just, why I'm still concerned about Muggs, and I still will contend, Dr. Tara, that there is a sugar mama component here, is if, you know, working in music, I get to go to shows. You know, it's sort of like a thank you for your support of these bands. You can then go, here are your tickets, and they're always great tickets from the record labels and the music industry, right? And so if I bring, like, a girl to a bunch of shows, even if I didn't pay for it, I am still the provider in that dynamic, right? And we've covered this where the expectations of sex and other things, they go up, right? So in your professional estimation of Muggs' current situation, do you not think that, like, that's at play here?
A little bit. Yeah, I think a little bit is at play. But statistically speaking, like, majority, like, talking about 95% of sugar babies are in their 20s. So, I don't know. Are you in that?
Well, what about 20 years past that?
Are you in that bracket?
Well, what about men in their 40s that act like they're in their 20s?
Then that could work.
That could work, couldn't it?
That could work. I don't think anyone has done that research, but I might try to do that research just being inspired by you. But you're actually in the bracket of sugar daddies, because, like, sugar daddies are usually in their 40s and 50s.
Right. And do you think that's healthy? You think everything's healthy. That's my problem with her, dude. She's like Switzerland or something for a doctor.
It's I am Switzerland. Well, let me say this. Sugaring or sugar relationships.
Oh, honey.
Yeah.
Oh. You are my Muggsy boy.
Someone get him a record deal.
Get down on your knees. Someone stop now. Him.
Thank you.
You can't stop Kevin. We all, that's established.
It's like nonstop K-Rock. You just can't stop it. We've been trying for 40 straight minutes and we can't stop it.
He's a Doberman. He's not a poodle.
That's right.
Anyways, sugaring relationships can actually be quite empowering for both individuals, the sugar daddies and sugar mamas, as well as the sugar babies. Because from the sugar baby perspective, right, this is an economic opportunity. Mm-hmm. And it is seen as that. This is a relationship where I actually respect, because it's like, there's no lies.
Well, that's a great point you make.
Yeah.
Because it's like, maybe most relationships are like that, you know?
I've never been
a guy, and you can probably, you know, Tara's great. It's sort of like making me realize things about myself. And I think I'm a weird cat where, like, I like learning about myself and being like, oh man, I'm even more messed up. What is that, right?
It's therapy.
But I like it. It's like I don't run from it. I kind of like get off on it. Like, wow, I learn more about myself and, you know, tell me how I'm messed up. Anyways, what I'm saying is, like, I think most dynamics are whether it's an official relationship or not. I think guys like showering girls with, like, stuff, right? They like showing off. I've never been that way, though. Like, I've always just been like, let's get a drink, see if we like each other, and then it's kind of casual, and that's, you know, it's probably why I've casually dated the majority of my life. But I think there's something to what you're saying, where, like, you know, people will turn up their nose and be judgy about these sugar mama, sugar baby relationships. But that's most relationships, probably.
Yeah, that's most relationships. Like, someone tends to be more of a provider. Although we are 2024, there are a lot more egalitarian relationships. Have you ever heard of that term?
No.
No.
That's where, like, the provider, the caretaker role kind of even out 50-50. And it is a very common relationship type in Europe. Like, European cultures really embrace egalitarianism versus American culture is still, like, quite traditional where someone is the provider. Anyways, with sugaring relationships, I do think that it can be empowering for these people participating because everything is above the board, communicated up front, right? Like, people, they are on these, like, website, like, seeking arrangement or whatever it is. Like, it's so clear. Like, listen, you take me on a date. It's $1,500. This is what I'm doing for you, giving you whatever it is, like, girlfriend experience, and I want it back. Mm. And, like, everything is just so clear and communicative. So, for me, it's like, yeah, you earn my respect because, like, you are confident enough to have that role. As well as the sugar daddies and mommies. Like, you go for it. Like, that's what you want. And you shouldn't have to be shy or ashamed about what you want.
How do you feel about sex workers?
I'm for it.
Yeah? You think we should decriminalize it and legalize it?
So, I've heard two things. Like, one, we definitely should decriminalize, right? Yeah. It's not their fault. Like, obviously, there's demand, there's supply.
Yeah.
But secondly, I have heard from some sex workers, especially online sex workers, that don't want it to be, like, completely legalized because they don't want a bunch of different regulations from the government.
But don't you think it would, like, protect the safety of like, the sex workers, right? Like, you would probably, I think it would take a lot of the human trafficking element out of it, right?
Yeah, it could. Yeah, kind of like in the Netherlands, like in Amsterdam, where sex work is completely legal. If you go to the red light district, you can, like, walk in. There's, like, an iPad. You, like, see the girls on the iPad, and you can select, like,
really?
Different things. Yeah, you can select, like, amount of time.
I've always heard about the red light district, but that's what that is?
Yeah, I was just there this summer. It's really? All, like, very, very nice, very clean, very legit. Like, yeah, it's a nice facility.
See, I can't do that because I just, I'm like too aware, you know, like I've had buddies.
You don't want to pay for sex?
Yeah, like I've had buddies when you go to like a strip club or stuff like that. Or I mean, I remember, I have a great prostitute story of a buddy, but I don't know if I should tell it because I think maybe somebody listening might know who it is. Oh. But anyways, that's never been my bag because I'm like too super aware and I'm just like, I know that you don't really like me. Like, you know what I mean?
But maybe you do. Maybe they do like you.
No. Because I also know people, like, it comes up in music a lot. Like, you know, people think, like, they're your friends. Like, the artists are your friends or the bands are your friends. But it's such a transactional relationship because you're playing their record or you're playing their video on MTV or you're helping them out somehow with, like, a look. You know what I mean? And then you can get wrapped up in it, as most of us do early on in our career, where you go, oh, this is my friend. Mm-hmm. You know? Because a lot of these people, they're, like, they're so personable. They're so personable. And if you're naive in this business or you're not self-aware, you will totally think these people care about you, but it's all a business. And I always used to joke with buddies of mine back east when we were working in New York on the radio that I was like, dude, if you think these reps like you, if you think these bands like you, you also probably think strippers like you. And strippers don't like you, dude. They're at work right now. You know what I mean? I'm friends with a lot of strippers.
You mean erotic dancers?
Well, I can't say strippers. I have stripper friends. But that's, no, you know, so funny. Like,
I think erotic dancers.
But they call them those strippers. Anyways, by the way, if you're a stripper listening, I mean, no disrespect. Dude, I used to go to a place called Scores in New York. And Scores in New York, I have to talk about this for a moment, had the best deal ever. And so I used to host an afternoon show on MTV. And when we would wrap the afternoon show, it'd be like 5-6 o'clock at night. And Scores in New York, this is like 5-6 years ago, would have a deal where you could get in for free before 9 p.m. and the first two drinks were free. And so what we would do is we would just take the crew there. I don't even think MTV does this. We would just take the crew there after the taping and we just drink for free. You know, watch the girls dance, the erotic dancers.
Erotic dancers.
We would just go out, you know, for the night or whatever. I would do a radio show eventually. And then, but like, it was like the best. You drink for free.
That's a great deal.
Oh, it was ridiculous. They clearly don't do it anymore because it was like we were just robbing them of their alcohol.
People taking advantage of them.
Yeah, but and then but no, I'm a huge advocate, and it's funny where. But
have you been to Jumbo's?
No, I haven't. That's like what in LA. It's what
topless. Yeah, in Hollywood. It's so
fun. Is it topless?
It's a strip club.
I went to a. I heard about a place. I won't name it because I don't want to disparage the business. But there's a place in the greater Los Angeles area that markets themselves as a topless sports bar. And I said, this has to be. Yeah. This has to be the coolest idea ever, bro. Mm. Like, just jumbotrons, the games are on, I can watch, I can eat my chicken wings, and then, like, the bartender.
Naked girls.
That's, like, the best! That's, like, my dream, dude. So then, me and my buddy go one day, and we turn onto the street, and there's something where if you're, like, a strip club aficionado or a gentleman's club aficionado, you can just, like, smell it. You can just, like, you turn on the street, and you go, there's train tracks right there. There's an industrial park right there.
The train tracks.
Yeah. And you just go, all right, dude. And we both looked at each other at the same moment, and we go, this is just gonna be a strip club, isn't it? And it was totally just a strip club, and there was like two TVs with like the USC game on. It was like so not a sports bar.
Oh.
But I don't know, it's funny, I enjoy that experience, but I don't enjoy the idea of prostitution. Mm. I don't know. But some guys,
I think it's to each their own.
No, of course it is. Mm. Of course it is. But you know, Muggs is being silent because he's like, I don't want. If my favorite prostitutes are listening, I don't want them to. You know.
I'm just trying to get over the fact that the strippers don't love me.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. You're still processing that. Yeah. Muggs is that kind of guy who would be like, I go when she's not working, dude. You know what I mean?
Oh, Muggs, man. Yeah. There's so much to unpack.
Well, let me ask you this because I'm getting word here. Thanks for passing this over to me, Muggs, who's working the phone lines. I mean, he really does do a lot of behind the scenes here. Anyways, there's a woman. Is this right, Ashley from South LA, Muggs? You're talking to on the phone line. She's cheated on her partner. Mm. And doesn't know whether or not to tell them. I guess let's start with this, Ashley. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
So you told Muggs here, the producer, when you're on hold, that you're from South L.A. I notice this with people who call the radio station K-Rock, and they always say South L.A., and I feel like it's very vague. And it's like, to me, I grew up in New Jersey, you would just say the town. And even people here in California say the town. So why did you say South L.A.?
I just want to keep it really as vague as possible.
Okay. Now, this isn't Ashley Madison, is it? Okay.
Girlfriend?
No, I mean, you just have a lot in common with that website. All right, so you cheated on your partner. How did that happen? Let's just start there before we even get into whether you should tell them or not.
Okay, so I went out with some girlfriends out to the bar, and my old past life, I used to be a flight attendant, and I ran into an old pilot friend of mine, and, you know, I had a couple of drinks, and one thing led to another, and him and I left, and, yeah, we ended up hooking up.
Took flight. It's really funny. Like a lot of, when you have bored human beings living a shared, boring, isolating experience, sex is just due to abound. I think about kids that go to these colleges in like Rochester, New York, or these places where what else are you going to do but drink and, party and, well, yeah, what's a fornicate? You know, you got to figure out these creative words.
Gainesville, Florida.
Yes, that's a good example. Go to football games and, you know, and you just, you get together. And the same thing with flight attendants, because I used to see quite a few flight attendants. And if you're out there right now and you're a single man or a single woman and you want to have a great time with somebody, no strings attached, a great vocation to pursue your suitors is what is it called? The air industry? The airline industry?
Airline industry.
Yeah, airline, yep.
So, I mean, that's kind of lonely as it is. So you're are you still a flight attendant or you used to be a flight attendant?
I used to be a flight attendant.
It's a very lonely life, wouldn't you say?
Being a flight? No, it was actually not. No.
But, okay, why? Did you fill your time with just, like, a bunch of sex? Or how did you fill your time? You're in a different city every day.
Traveling. I was traveling all the time. I was with friends.
It's like
having
bands.
A great time.
It's like I'm friends with bands. I work in the music industry. When you're on tour, you're not really in that city. You know, people go, "Oh, that's so glamorous. They're in Rome. They're playing a show in Rome." You're not actually in Rome. You're on a bus. You're getting shoveled into an arena or a venue. You're doing the show, and then you're getting shoveled to the next place. And so that's kind of what it's like to be a flight attendant, though.
Well, not necessarily, because I was with my flight crew on the whole trip, and we would just all hang out together.
Let me ask you this, Ashley. How many serious boyfriends did you have while you were a flight attendant?
About two.
Okay, and how long were you a flight attendant?
10 years.
Okay, so you had two serious, and was there a big space in between that time, or did you date both for about 5 years?
One was about 2 years, the other one was 5 years, so I had some time where I was single.
Okay, so did either of those people ever cheat on you, and you can be honest?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, so then what do you think drove you to cheat? Just nostalgia? I mean, you're clearly missing something that you're shacking up with this former pilot friend of yours.
Honestly, it's probably the alcohol.
Oh, is that a real excuse, Dr. Tara? Is that a real excuse or is that a cop-out? Because I've allegedly been cheated on, and I say alleged because she never admitted to it, but there's a lot of bad evidence indicating that she may have cheated on me, and she claims she blacked out.
Depends on which statistic you want to cite. We see from like 1/3 of infidelities involve people being intoxicated. So if you're thinking 1/3, she's one of the third. That's the statistic. I think it's very, very common.
But there's a famous Eminem song I will not quote right now. You remember Guilty Conscious? What'd he do? Like trip, fall on his, you know? Never mind.
Yeah, don't quote that.
I'm not going to quote that.
Anyways, it's never a good
excuse. Alcohol can't make you sleep with somebody. It just can't. You have to have a desire.
No, sometimes you have a lapse of judgment when you're super intoxicated. It is bad. It's bad.
No.
And I would never condone infidelity. However, it is the fact of life is when people are intoxicated, they do not make good judgment. Mugs,
well, yeah,
Mugs knows this.
Well, yeah, I mean, literally.
It's like that one song, Guilty Conscience.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
All right, stop. Now, before you go in this liquor store.
Sure. Older than George Burns.
We don't want to have to pay Interscope Records for this podcast episode. No, but seriously, like, you couldn't feed me intravenously enough Mike's Hard Lemonade to sleep with Mugs. Do you know what I mean? You just couldn't. So I'm saying there has to be a desire there. And I think to blame it on alcohol, as Ashley is right now from South LA, I just think it's a cop-out. What's your relationship like, Ashley, right now? Are you married? You said you cheated on your partner. I mean, that could mean a whole lot of stuff. Is that your boyfriend or girlfriend? Or
No, it's actually my husband.
Okay. And how long have you been married?
I have been married for 5 years.
Okay. And how's the sex?
It's pretty good. I would say it's pretty good.
So then why are you cheating on this guy?
I mean, that's a good question. I don't know why I did it, but like I just want to blame the alcohol.
Well, did you ever sleep with a pilot in the past, or was this a first-time thing?
No, I've slept with pilots in the past.
No, I know pilots. I mean, look, you know what's funny here too? This is what I love about cheaters, man. You get them talking, and then all of a sudden she come out. Because she was a goody, like, little too goody two-shoes, as whatever the phrase is, right? And she had 2 boyfriends in 10 years, and now she's like, oh, no, I slept with pilots. Pilots.
Well, all I had a little, I had like 3 years
period.
Single.
No, I know.
Did. You are not actively listening, Kevin.
I'm not slut-shaming. I've already established on this episode, I don't slut-shame anymore. I did in a past life, but just like Tom Brady retired from football, I also, I commentate slut-shaming, but I don't partake in it. I might, you know, watch it happen, but, you know. So I'm not slut-shaming you, Ashley, but what I'm trying to get at is, had you ever slept with this pilot before?
Yes.
Okay. So was there something that he offered you that your husband does not offer you? Is he a different built man? Is he a different kind of lover? Did you have a different experience with what he provided you than maybe, say, what you're doing with your husband right now?
Probably.
Okay.
He probably did offer a little bit of different spicy things.
Mm. I think in the love line rule book, probably is yes, doctor. Would you say that?
Husband's too vanilla.
Oh, is that? Okay, so doctor, is that what you're hearing?
What I'm hearing is that your sex life might be a little boring because when Kevin asked you, you said it's pretty good. And I don't think you would ever want your spouse to say your sex life is pretty good, would you?
Mm. I don't know if I ever want a spouse. I mean, that's
you would want your spouse to say it's great, right? You want that to be the real life experience is that our sex life is great.
It's like so, when chicks, when they fake it with you.
Right.
And you like that.
Who are you talking to?
Mugs.
No, that's not.
Mugs looks like he's an empathetic, generous lover,
yeah,
by the way.
No, yeah. Mugs will, with like, I can't
Mugs
tell
will
you,
go down I, on you forever.
I can't all day. I can't tell you how many times he has unsolicited volunteered that information about him. I know that about him.
What?
You know
what?
How many times I've probably known him, like, for real now, like maybe 2 years, 2.5 years we've worked together.
What are we talking about?
How much you enjoy going down on women. Why would I know that? Why should I know that? I have no reason to. It's not actionable information. I can't use that. It's not useful. And yet I know this, and I know it on multiple occasions. He has volunteered this information, again, without a solicitation. We know you got to go. So thanks for calling in, Ashley.
Thank you.
We are going to take a break on Loveline. When we come back, we've got red flags that you don't need. We're going to identify some red flags, both scientific and I guess you could say inexact from my findings. And that's coming up next on Loveline.
These red flags we don't need. These red flags we don't need. These red flags we don't need. These red flags are what we don't need. These red flags are what we don't need.
Look at that, Muggs. How's that one go?
These red flags you don't need.
can you tell who the lead singer of that song is?
Yeah, it's Bon Scott. What's his name?
Yeah, there you go. Wow. Maybe think out the jokes before you say them on the air. It is Kevin Kenny, Dr. Tara, Loveline on K-Rock. Producer Muggs begrudgingly here. And as you just heard in that little ditty that, you can't even say ditty anymore.
No,
that's
you
another
can't.
Thing we can't say.
No, it's ditty. Very sensitive, especially towards Gen Zs.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a triggering word.
Or people who run baby oil companies. Anyways, red flags are very, I think it's an interesting concept because there's two kinds of red flags in my estimation. There's the professionally researched back red flags that have science supporting the fact that you should avoid this type of behavior in people, suitors, potential partners. And then there's the intangible, sort of like maybe street red flags that you might see, and they're intangible, but they are red flags and they are things that you should avoid, even if medical science doesn't support it as much as maybe what Dr. Tara is about to say.
So what are some
red flags, Dr. Tara?
Yeah, there are quite a few behavioral red flags that are obvious red flags without any excuses, right? Because sometimes I share these things and people are like, well, it depends. I'm like, no, it does not depend. It
never depends, right?
It's a red flag. Number one, if someone love bombs you at the beginning, that is a huge predictor of an unsuccessful relationship.
Define love bombing, though, because that is there are a lot of popular phrases, many of which have been hurled at Muggs over here in the dating scene.
Yeah.
And relayed to me, and some fair and some I don't think are fair. And I think whenever you get these buzz terms, especially if you know, it's like a power move to call someone that,
yes,
they get abused a little bit.
Okay.
So what is love bombing?
I can see that. Love bombing is excessive affectionate behavior that is unjustified. So
give me an example.
First date, like showing up at someone's house unexpectedly, bringing 500 roses and then saying I love you like the first 30 minutes of being in a date. That's
so kind of like what Muggs did with the Orlando girl where he got her a bouquet of flowers and invited her to a Tool concert. And what, how many times did you ever meet her?
Only because she love bombed me first, Kevin.
So all of that is
and trauma dumped, by the way, Tara. Red flags?
Trauma dumping is the big red flag.
You know what I think is the love bombing that I would look out for is you shouldn't be going on a vacation with anyone,
right?
Like in the first 3 months of dating them.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think of the people that go away on vacation, they run away together and things like that. But I do understand love bombers because we live in a day and age of post-iPhone world and everything is just so efficient. You know, you can get your groceries or, you know, if you want a taco right now, we could go. Muggs' eyes are getting big. We're not doing this, Muggs, but we could.
Man.
We could use an app. And they would just bring us a taco, right? And so if people want sort of the girlfriend or boyfriend experience, but they don't want to like put in all the work that requires, love bombing is a great alternative.
That's why they do it, but it doesn't mean it's healthy or good for you or good for them. So ultimately, it is not a good behavior to adopt. And if you consider yourself someone that does a lot of love bombing, you should talk to a therapist.
But, okay. How does it become a problem? Why is it a problem, right?
Because it becomes a problem because it falls off. A lot of love bombing is only about the getting of something.
The hunt. Right.
The getting of something, the chase, the getting the prize. Once you get the prize, it's over.
It's like dogs chasing cars. Right? Dogs chase cars.
Do they ever get the prize, though?
Yeah, but then if they catch the car, what are they going to do with the car? They can't drive the car, right? So why are dogs chasing cars? Why are these guys on the hunt and then they get the girl and they go, oh, I never even wanted the girl. I just wanted to get the girl.
Yeah.
Which is very different. Mm-hmm. Now, do women go through that? Do they ever like hunt men like that? Or they're sort
of,
really?
Yeah. This is not gender specific.
Okay.
There's lots of women that love bomb all the time. And this is usually from their insecurity and being uncomfortable being alone. Like they will find someone and if they get interest from this person, they'll immediately like love bomb the person, saying I love you early, texting them all the time and trying to spend all the time with them, coming over to like clean the apartment and like help them out with like their like dentist appointments and just overdoing things that are not considered like quote unquote normal in a in a healthy relational development.
Now, that's your red flag. Muggs, do you have a red flag before we go on?
All of that was just mentioned.
Well, you talked about trauma dumping. How would you define trauma dumping? Is that another red flag?
Oh, yeah. That's totally a red flag. That's like when someone immediately overshares all of their past traumas and difficulties. But it's in societal norms to not share these things immediately to someone you just met.
But what if you've already made peace with it? Because I think I'm somebody who talks for a living and I interview people for a living, right? And so what interviewing is like you kind of have to make a stranger, albeit a celebrity more often than not, comfortable enough to talk to you about intimate things in a matter of moments, because you only have 10 to 15 minutes with them overall for the entirety of the conversation. And so you develop a way of talking to people and putting them at ease. And then you also develop a comfort, especially like someone like me who's been to therapy many and many times since I was a teenager. I could see me being falsely accused maybe of trauma dumping, as you defined it, because I'm just open about stuff and I'm comfortable with myself. And I'll just talk about, you know, messed up stuff pretty early on.
Absolutely not. Not the same.
The way you would describe
like your previous experience and what you have overcome is your life story and your past. Totally fine. Trauma dumping is when you excessively overshare all of the past traumas that you've had early on when you meet someone. So let's say you do meet a musician that you meet in 15 minutes and you try to get them comfortable and share something very intimate, right? Mm-hmm. They're not going to be trauma dumping on you. They're not going to talk about the difficult times they have with their moms and like how their dad, like, you know.
But sometimes it does go there.
Does it?
Yeah, I remember talking to Flea one time about how mean Anthony Kiedis was to him. And he got visibly uncomfortable reflecting on it. It was in his book, so I thought it was fair game to bring up. And it was like a very real moment of like, he was uncomfortable.
Yeah,
you know, I wasn't making him uncomfortable, I should say. It was, you know, he was reflecting on this uncomfortable memory and this sort of like a complicated relationship he has with someone he loves deeply, and Anthony, the lead singer. I always forget, Dr. Tara doesn't know music. So these are the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
That is preposterous.
We were in a meeting one time and they go, yeah, you know, and then maybe we'll play like a K-Rock song or two. And then Dr. Tara goes, what makes a song a K-Rock song?
These red flags.
Yeah, exactly.
What are yours then?
Well, so mine are less scientific, right? So you asked me to put this together, doctor, and you know, I took the doctor's orders, and so I do have a number one red flag. Okay, now Muggs, what do you think is like the number one? And I actually wrote it from the female point of view, or honestly, anybody who dates guys in 2024. My number one red flag that you need to avoid if you date men in 2024 is, I wrote down, guys that are super into the Joker.
What?
You know the guys. Like, I was walking around the other day and I saw a guy in a bomber jacket. By the way, if you're wearing a bomber jacket in 2024, you're a loser. Do you agree?
It's over. This is not high school.
We've had like three presidential elections since that was cool.
I don't know. They're pretty cool still.
Yeah. Well, Muggs is just coming around to them, you know. Those are just hitting the valley.
Is what people wear at that bar.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's in the bomber jackets.
We've always worn bomber jackets in the valley.
What made it even worse was it was a bomber jacket with the Joker on the back. And I just think it's like, there are certain things where if you're excited for him, I'm happy for you. I think of a thing like that happens here in LA once a year, right? Comic-Con, the big one in San Diego as well. And I see that stuff and I go, that's awesome, right? That's great. Like, people are so passionate, even as adults. Disney adults, I think, is an unfair term. People are just passionate about that. But the one thing that I think, if you're passionate about, you do deserve to be on a no-fly list is the Joker.
Let me ask you a question, though, in all fairness. If that clothing brand that you always wear that I can't mention the name of on the radio,
yes,
if they came out with like a Joker theme,
wouldn't get my money, bro.
No.
Why are you so into the Joker?
I think
And I think, honestly, I just, it's a little concerning. And every iteration's concerning because there's all of these different types of men. So I want to be very clear, if you're taking my advice on Loveline tonight, if they're into the Jared Leto Joker, that's not good.
No.
If they're into the Heath Ledger Joker, that's not good. If they're into the Joaquin Phoenix Joker, that's not good.
Jack Nicholson Joker, though, yes.
Yeah. Actually, I want to. Hey, if you're listening tonight and you're in LA or you're listening on the podcast and you act like the Jack Nicholson Joker, I want to party with you at Kevin Kenny on
social.
What
about the Cesar Romero Joker?
If you're into the Cesar Romero Joker, you're probably in an old folks home. And I don't think
Tara knows who that is.
I don't know who
I don't think anybody who like didn't watch MASH knows who that is.
It's a 1960s Batman TV
show.
No,
I'm talking about these modern day like Joker freaks. Mm-hmm. So guys who wear like flat brim hats, but it's like, it's not the Dodgers, it's Joker.
Yeah.
I would be scared if I go on a first date and I see this guy.
Dude, or like the guys that go as Joker. Look at all the creeps that have gone as Joker for Halloween. guess one of the biggest creeps of all time, Diddy, went as Joker.
No.
Like two or three. You haven't seen this?
No.
Dude, he's going up to like Tyler the Creator in his SUV and Tyler won't open the door.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, how telling.
That's what I'm saying. So I think if you meet a guy on a date and he's super into the Joker, if you go back to his spot, and I think that's something where when you were single, right?
Yeah.
I would be so terrified as a woman to go to a guy's place for the first time.
Because
what if that guy's a weirdo? And you go in there and there's all these Heath Ledger posters and his Facebook picture. Like he has a Facebook picture. I think that's a red flag. If your guy actively posts on Facebook, that's my second red flag. I just made that my second red flag. If you click on his Facebook, dude, I'll raise you one. You want to know like a very specific type of red flag
if you're
dating men? If you go on his Facebook and he has a Facebook header photo that has been updated in the past 4 years, that's a red flag.
What's a Facebook header photo?
Exactly. That's the natural response to that question. But there are people out there that have Joker as their profile picture and then like a banner photo, and they actually do update people on whatever the hell they got going on.
I don't know. I have to agree with you on that.
Yeah.
It would be like, why do you have so much free time?
But in a serious note, what's attracting these people to the Joker, I think, is the problematic part. You know, if you see yourself in that that character.
What about people that wear the ghost face?
Who does that?
Like during sex?
Yeah.
What? Is that what you do?
No, I don't
do
that.
Who wears the ghost face?
I think that's what he does, and he's just checking if it's normal.
Have you ever worn a mask during sex, Muggs?
No.
No?
Never?
Really?
Has she ever worn a mask during sex?
I've worn all my clothes during sex once.
Have you really?
Yeah.
But how does your penis come out?
I mean,
he took that thing out. You couldn't even tell.
Oh, burn.
Oh, wow. No, but it's true.
Anyways, we were having a debate about porn addiction, and I think Dr. Tara thinks that there's not such a thing.
No.
If a guy wakes up and just jays it all day long, right? And like he doesn't go outside and he can't connect with women. He can't get hard with women. That guy's not addicted to porn?
That could be hypersexuality, which is a diagnosable condition. But porn addiction isn't diagnosable. It's not a clinical term.
You don't think that the rise in young men using Viagra is not in direct correlation with porn being more accessible than ever in human history? And the desensitization. You don't think so?
I mean, there is definitely clear statistics on younger men being exposed to porn and using it more regularly. But it doesn't mean that these men are addicted. And plus, like I said, according to the DSM, which is basically the book of, you know, all the psychologists will refer to, there's no such thing as porn addiction.
So what is an addiction?
You can have other types of addiction.
But what is like an addiction?
Yeah, it's when you keep going back for the same dopamine hit. That's an addiction.
But what if I just do something and I enjoy it? I think an addiction is when you don't want to do it. I know, but that's what I'm saying, though, because, I mean, your definition of an addiction is just like you
then
keep
you
going back.
You crave it and you need it and you need to also increase the dose. That's an addiction. Then it becomes problematic. So if it's a problematic, a big issue thing in your life, it impedes you from being a normal human, going to work, having a relationship, hanging out with friends, then it's a problem. Then, yeah, that's an addiction. But if you just enjoy these things here and there and, you know, it does not in any way negatively affect your life, it's not a bad thing.
Wait, this is a very serious question. Is there not a medical definition of addiction? Is it kind of arbitrary?
Not porn addiction.
No. Addiction, though.
Addiction, there is.
Okay, what is that term? Not to put you on the spot if you have to look it up.
Right, I would have to look it up if you want verbatim, but it's technically a dopamine hit where there is a thing that you keep going back to and you need to consistently, frequently increase the dose. That is an addiction.
Like, what about the guy I went to high school with that still lives at home and he's back home and he's never really had a job, but he posts on Facebook a lot. I see him update people that he's addicted to winning. Is that an addiction?
No.
Okay. I think he deals drugs. You know that guy?
Degenerate gambler?
Yeah, I think he deals drugs. All right. So what makes... We have a doctor here that thinks that porn addiction is, I guess, not a thing. Or is that what you want to say? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
He could be he could have hypersexuality.
Is the
That's a term.
Is the addiction in the eye of the addict?
Yes. And there is such thing as overconsumption of porn. And there is such thing as desensitization, for sure. And there is such thing as problematic use of porn. However, shaming people has never actually worked into helping them quit porn, believe it or not. There's research on, like, should we use shaming strategies? Should we make them feel bad about what they're doing? And none of those strategies work. People can't be shamed into quit watching porn.
You know who probably loves that people get shamed for watching too much porn? People that make shame porn. Because all that's going to happen is if you shame somebody for watching too much porn, then they're going to develop a new kink where they want to get, like, shamed. They want to watch people get shamed and stuff.
Yeah, probably, like, another profit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I do think in mainstream porn, though, that there's such thing as, like, overperformance and overproduction. And you know, we talked about this before, how, like, people could be super misguided into having unrealistic sexual expectations in real life and therefore cause them to have terrible sex life and take them a long time to overcome something like that. So is it a problem when you watch a lot of porn? And when we say a lot, 4 to 5 times a day, that's a lot. That is, the condition is overconsumption of porn. So, yeah.
And you know what's funny too about porn? I once, I want to tell this kind of in a vague way. But I once went on a date with a porn star.
Mm.
And, like, I'm not that into porn. I was, like, you know, maybe 20 years ago when I was, like, a kid, I'd be like, oh, yeah, like, Jenna Jameson or something. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
but I don't know the names of the people now, necessarily.
Sasha Gray.
Yeah, like, yeah. Like, she was on Entourage, though, right? Like, that's, like, old school. Sasha Gray?
Sasha Gray, yeah.
Who's, like, the big, you probably know Muggs, right? What's like, who's, like, the big porn
Riley
star?
Reed.
No, these are all old names, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, what about now? Kazumi is
a huge
star. Yeah.
Yeah. Kazumi. Okay, so Kazumi, or like OnlyFans, I guess, is the new porn stars. Anyways, I went on a date with a very famous porn star that I didn't realize was so famous that, like, wherever we went, people were, like, buying us drinks and stuff. And, like, I couldn't believe how, like, famous this person was. They were also the worst person I've ever gone on a date with. And I was so shocked. It was such a learning lesson in my life because when you're watching pornography, your brain is going, oh, this is so awesome. Like, she's, like, so voluptuous, or she's so attractive, or, man, she's so dirty, or whatever your preference is as a male is watching this porn. And you never think that, like, that's all fantasy, because if you actually talk to that person, they might be an awful person. You might have to listen to them just to go on about themselves, and it might just be, like, intolerable. And anyways, this person was so intolerable, and any straight guy listening right now is totally going to feel me on this next point, is how insane this is. Is, like, as a young boy, your dream is, like, to sleep with a porn star. Like, it's, like, this thing of, like, wow, what a bucket list, crazy, like, how crazy would that be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so here you are, and I have this opportunity, and I could not stand this woman to such an extent. I literally ditched her when she went to the bathroom at a club. I was like, I don't know how to get out of here. So anyways, I think that's also a downside to watching too much pornography, is you lose a sight of reality and what actually bonding with a woman looks like and feels like.
Have you ever heard of halo effect?
Is that the ice cream with less calories? I think. It's not bad. I tried it. Is that what you're talking about?
No.
What's the halo effect?
It's a psychological effect where you idealize people who are, one, attractive.
Yeah.
Two, intelligent. Three,
I never thought she'd be intelligent.
No. Not, these are not, like, these are mutually exclusive. Like, it can be, like, an attractive person, an intelligent person, or a person of authority, and people idealize one of these people to think that they're good people, when in fact, just because you're attractive or intelligent or person of authority doesn't mean you're a good person. So you were just a victim of halo effect.
I just think I wanted to have sex with a porn star.
Yeah, well, because, and you thought that she was going to be, like, a nice, fun person, and she wasn't.
I thought she'd be tolerable.
Yeah.
You know, well, I thought she'd just be tolerable.
You're just a victim of halo effect.
Well, maybe. I got haloed. Good video game, good Beyonce song. And the
good
ice
cream.
Not bad. Yeah, it's really not. Jack is calling Loveline because, do I have this right? I can't have sex with someone unless I'm messed up. So, Jack, are you there?
Yes.
So when you say messed up, what do you exactly mean? And just try to be kind to the FCC license limitations in terms of vernacular that is allowed on this program.
I'm a little nervous.
Okay.
Is this the Dr. Tara?
Yes.
What?
Are you freaking out, Jack? Are you a big fan of Dr. Tara?
I'm a little nervous.
Now, what makes me nervous about you being nervous is that if I'm interpreting what your problem is correct, you probably suppress anxiety with substance abuse. So just as nervous as you are to be in the presence of greatness, which, I mean, if you're nervous on the phone, imagine how I feel in the studio with greatness in Dr. Tara. But just please don't, you know, do anything bad. Don't shoot up. Don't, you know, binge drink. Just, or, you know, just wait a moment and try to process the anxiety. I think this will be good for you, Jack. But in the sense of not being able to have sex unless you're under the influence is how I'm gathering your issue. Where does that date back to? Was your first your sexual debut, as Dr. Tara likes to teach us to say instead of virginity, was your sexual debut, Jack, under the influence of something?
I was messed up my first time.
Okay, and what was the mess of choice?
It was Mexico, so it was a little tequila, a little beer. Sometimes they mix the two.
Yeah, I believe that's called a bulldog.
Is that what it's
called? I think it's a bulldog. If you put like a Corona upset, no, I really think, isn't it a bulldog? You never heard that?
No.
Senor Frogs, you ever go to Senor Frogs?
Oh yeah, yeah. New songs, Papa's a beer.
Mugs
yeah.
does not drink alcohol.
He doesn't. If there was ever a guy that drank alcohol, if you were in an art class at UCLA and your prompt was to draw a guy that drank alcohol, you would draw
Mugs?
Beer mug. Yeah,
yeah.
Anyways, Jack. Well, that's not that bad, man. So that's okay. I mean, I'm not trying to build a tier list of substance abuse, but you know, I mean, he's not doing meth. He's not, you know what I mean? Like, he's not doing crack, and then, you know, I can't have sex unless I'm on crack.
Well, but it doesn't mean, you know, that you should be intoxicated every single time you have sex. Like, that indicates a deeper problem for
sure.
Well,
definitely. And I honestly, not to sound like naive or a Boy Scout, I found out somewhat recently in my life that the majority of people are inebriated when they have sex, and I'm typically not. I just, it's like there's this like
normal?
No, you're definitely not normal. It's common, yeah. But I mean, the doctor can explain the difference between common and normal, right?
Right.
Okay,
right.
So why don't you address that? Because Jack, I think I hear Jack pouring something, so why don't we gotta get to him soon?
Common means a lot of people do it, doesn't mean it's normal or good. So, safe to say, everyone should be able to have sober sex that is pleasurable, consensual, and enjoyable. So if you cannot do that, it is time to self-reflect and investigate what is the deeper problem here. Perhaps family?
Well, my big problem is I if I'm not drunk, I can't get it up, get a boner.
An erection. You cannot get an erection.
That's funny because when I drink it,
the opposite.
I can't get a boner.
Oh, so that's interesting. Wait, that's true? When you drink, you can't.
Yeah. Otherwise,
is that what whiskey?
Yes.
Penis.
Yeah. Yes. Is that what that is?
Yes.
Yeah. Really.
Very common. So
I don't think I'm. You know what? I think I'm so scared of like. I don't know why. It's like, it's really interesting because it's not projection. Like, God is my witness. I've never, ever, ever done anything like that is like concerning in my past. But there's something about like, I want to be accountable during something as intimate as sex. And I just want to like be there for it. And I don't even like for her to be messed up. Mm-hmm. I've said no so many times. I'm not acting like I'm noble for doing that. But I've said no so many times because the girl's too messed up. I'm like, I'm not into this, man. Like, you know, like.
Good job, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't mean it like, hey, look at me. I'm a superhero.
No, but
it's just like, it's my
that's
thing.
That's important.
Yeah, but I've also killed a lot of like great vibes probably, you know, that are just like, yeah, I don't want to do that. But why is that some men can't get aroused when they're drunk, but then Jack here can't get aroused if he's sober?
Mm-hmm. So what Muggs is experiencing is way more common and normal, scientifically speaking, because when there's a lot of alcohol, there's definitely, you're bound to have erectile dysfunction situationally in that moment. But for Jack, I think what he's experiencing is sexual anxiety, And in order to reduce his anxiety, he uses alcohol. And once he's intoxicated, he is properly socially lubricated and he's ready. So for him, it's overcoming anxiety rather than trying to get an erection. It's not about trying to get an erection. It's about overcoming anxiety.
All right, we'll be right back on Love Lines.
Love Line.
Love Line.
With Kevin Kenny and Dr. Tara.
We'll be right back.
Oh, feels so good, doesn't it?
K-Rock.
What up? Hour number two of Love Line. If you're listening on the world famous KROQ. And just the middle of the podcast, I guess, if you're listening on the podcast. It's Kevin Kenny, Dr. Tara, producer Muggs is here as well. We were talking about this movie, The Substance. It stars Demi Moore, and it really examines how messed up this industry of Hollywood can be with aging actresses specifically, and specifically if you are the aging actress, as Demi Moore portrays in the film, that may have been known as sort of like a sex symbol, you know.
When they were younger.
Yeah, when they were younger, and then how that affects people, and, you know, the movie is quite grotesque, but I think in a very important way, because they sort of present these visual grotesque things mm-hmm. to sort of display mm-hmm. how grotesque the behavior is towards aging women yeah. in Hollywood. So we were kind of talking about that, and I was contesting that it's never been a better time to be an aging woman because of sort of MILF culture and because of the celebration of older women and their beauty. You know, even I think Pamela Anderson now not wearing makeup, I believe, right. is like this sort of stance she's
so
taken.
Beautiful.
She is very beautiful. And I think it's a good time. And then you brought up this three named person that I am not familiar
three
with.
Three named person.
Now, Muggs, can you name a three named person? Who do you think we're referring to?
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
That's what I was going to say. That's what I thought. Who's a three named person I know? And it's the same actor from Home Improvement. So clearly, Muggs and I get out. but no, this is Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and before I even explain why we're talking about ATJ. Does anyone call him ATJ?
No.
Okay. ATJ.
Nobody.
ATJ. There's a drop. ATJ. Before I even talk about why we're talking about Sir Aaron Taylor Johnson, who is this?
Okay, so Aaron Taylor Johnson is a huge Hollywood movie star.
Why have I never heard of him?
What?
What movies is he in?
The Bullet Train with Brad Pitt.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
No. Wasn't that like
so
that?
Hot.
I didn't think that was
he
in
is
theaters.
Extremely attractive.
Was he opposite Brad Pitt, or was he just happened to be in that movie? Like, was he
what
starring?
Do you mean opposite?
Well, you can star in a film or you can
be
in a
film.
Yeah,
he's one of the main ones. He's not the leading because he's not Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
But he's one of the main
ones.
Okay,
so he's in Bullet Train.
Yes.
Anything else?
That movie, what is it called? Like, Craven?
Craven.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of this guy, Muggs?
Now that I looked him up, yeah.
Okay,
he's in Nosferatu, Kick-Ass.
I don't know any of these movies.
28 years later.
Well, anyways.
Anyways.
He's so very attractive. And
he's very attractive. Paint the picture in case anybody knows. How old do you think this guy
so
is?
He has like long curly hair.
Well, not that descriptive, but he's an attractive guy. And how old do you think he is?
I think now he's in his 30s.
Muggs, how old is he?
He is, hold on, 34.
Okay, so he's 34 years old. And so that's kind of plays into why we're talking about this guy. So he has a huge age gap with his wife.
I thought you were going to say something else.
So this is
Sam Taylor Johnson, yes.
Whoa, wait. Aaron, wait, oh, her name is Sam Taylor Johnson.
Yeah.
I was like, what are the chances that he dated or met a woman with three names? So, okay, he's Aaron Taylor Johnson. She's Sam Taylor Johnson.
Yes.
Okay, so this age gap is described as huge. How big is the age gap?
23 years.
23 years. So he's 34.
Years. So they met when
before we even get to that, mm-hmm. he's 34. So she's 57.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Muggs, how do you feel about that?
I mean, that's what he's into. It's whatever floats his boat, right?
Could you ever do that? What do you think is the biggest age gap that you've had with a woman you've dated or slept with?
8 years.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's you never tried like the cougar thing?
Mm-mm.
Why not?
I didn't.
Wasn't your thing?
No, I wouldn't say it wasn't my thing. It's just I never came across the opportunity.
Really? All the bars you go to in the Valley, there's not a cougar bar?
Well, yeah, but, like, I mean, I'm not actively pursuing the the options for cougars there.
Okay.
Where I go.
You're never on apps.
You never slid the date range up, just like, you know, you're drinking one night, you're like, let's have a night. Let's see what happens.
I did an app once and I never did it.
What do you mean you did an app? What does that mean?
I partook in an app.
You signed up? Dating app.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It was just not.
It wasn't for you?
No.
What didn't you like about that? You're a writer. You're creative. Why didn't you like being on that?
I didn't know that was all about writing and creativity.
Well, I mean, it's not about writing or creativity.
Well, you guys are crazy. Are you kidding me? People's aversion to those things a lot of the time is they don't like to write about themselves or they don't like to text. They just like to meet people.
Oh.
So I'm saying, what did you not like about it?
I think a lot of the times, and not on my end, but on the other end, like, sex was expected.
Like, and you didn't like that?
Not on all of them.
Oh, okay.
No. You don't want to really? Just be
and,
like a...
And you can't tell by the pictures, really.
No.
You can't ever.
But that's interesting that you didn't like that sex was expected.
Like I said, not with the person.
With the people.
Yeah.
Oh, is it a person? Is there like one that was real bad?
I wouldn't say they're really bad. I didn't have
You had a bad experience with them.
No, I just didn't have a desire to have sex with them.
Wow, but it was bad enough where you didn't want to do the apps anymore.
Yeah, dude. It's...
What are we talking about here? Like, what do you mean by bad?
It's just, I mean, it wasn't...
It was an uncomfortable enough situation where he said, you know what, I don't like this and I'm never doing this again.
Yeah.
He also doesn't have a problem getting laid. You know, no, he really doesn't.
Yeah, you told me.
We've talked about it on the
yeah.
show.
Like, he owns the bar.
I just think women need him. Women need him, and maybe you can like shine light on it. He's just like a lovable guy. You feel safe with Muggs. Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're not safe with Muggs. That's the magic
trick.
Muggs. But you feel safe with Muggs.
Oh,
yeah. I escort Tara out every night. Oh, well, every Sunday night, rather.
To my car.
Yep.
So you're saying I'm not actually safe.
Well, yeah.
Yeah,
I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him.
Okay.
But so anyways, he's never dabbled with the older ladies. 34 years?
So they
Is that
met...
what we said? 34 years?
What do you mean?
No, he's 34.
He's 34.
Yeah.
What's the age gap?
23 years.
23.
Yeah.
Okay. So when did they meet?
They met when she was 42. And he was 19.
How does that happen?
At a movie, like audition.
At an audition?
Yeah.
What were they? Were they both auditioning, or was she casting?
I think they were both auditioning. Not for the same role.
Yeah, of course. No, of course.
Yeah, but I think they were both trying to work on a movie,
and they
literally fell in love, and just 1 year after meeting, the guy proposed. to her, and they got married.
So there's a lot of things wrong with this relationship.
Not according to what they say.
Well, what do they say?
So he said, I just know that it works. I just feel secure and loved and safe. We have a very deep connection, and we're just in sync.
When did he say that? How long into the marriage?
Recently.
Was that on the honeymoon?
He said that recently, and they have a kid together, too.
They had a child together.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. So
yeah,
How old was she when they got pregnant?
I think just 2 years after that.
So
marriage.
Like mid-40s though.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. That's pretty good. God bless them.
Well, I guess with a 22-year-old sperm.
Yeah. Is that true? Do we know if that's true? That like younger sperm is stronger and better?
Well, yeah.
Is it? Or are we just assuming?
I'm assuming.
We're assuming.
But younger can also mean healthier, right?
Yeah, that is true.
As you get older, you tend to have
definitely
more illnesses.
So my question is what do you think that's about? I mean, because do they talk about, like, is his mom in the picture?
They're not talking about his family.
Okay, because I think this is all...
Are you theorizing about
his
mom?
Yeah, I think this is 110% about whatever he went through as a kid. That he would, at 19... be that emotionally, because I'm not saying he's not attracted to this woman, of course he is,
right?
This is the love of his life, it sounds like, but to be drawn and to relate to someone at 43 years old, or I'm sorry, he's 19,
he
20,
was 19,
23
and...
is 42, yeah, 42 maybe,
yeah.
So it's like, yeah, like something happened in your life that kind of set the table for you to go and do that. You don't think so?
Some people find themselves extremely like emotionally mature, more mature than people in your cohort.
Yeah, but he's an actor, right?
Right.
Okay, so a 19-year-old, every 19-year-old has a void in them, right? It's why we go out to college. We try to prove, like,
find ourselves.
We try to make our parents proud. Yeah. We try to get a degree to become something, to make something of ourselves. Or, you know, like your parents never loved you, and then you want to go be famous, and you want to be, you know, and prove them wrong, kind of thing. You have a void as a 19-year-old, no matter who you are. Every actor has a void in them where they need to please strangers, and they have this desire to sort of be other people, mm-hmm. right? Like acting is like they want to be mm-hmm. other people, and they enjoy that art. So a 19-year-old actor has a massive void in them that obviously this person filled. So that's why I'm saying, I don't think it's just like, oh, like this person spoke to this person. I think they probably healed him in a way from something that happened obviously like earlier in his life.
I don't know. I feel like it is also a potential that, you know, when you're very emotionally mature, like much older than your actual age and much older than people in your cohort, girls your age, you might feel like it is a lot more intellectually stimulating and sexually stimulating to date older women.
No, I think dating older women is amazing. And I've done it plenty of times when
you
I was
have?
Single. Absolutely.
What's the oldest?
I don't know. I mean, I wasn't carding them.
Well, but like an estimate.
Like up there, probably.
50?
Yeah, easily.
Whoa.
Easily. easily. No, but I am somebody that like fashions themselves a bit of an old soul. And mm-hmm. I don't know, just like I have mature interests, maybe. I don't know. I'm not saying I'm mature. Everyone listening to this going that knows me goes, that guy's not mature. But no, it's like I relate to older people mm-hmm. a lot. And so that resonates with me. But I'm not going to marry these people. And I certainly wouldn't have married them at 19. So I'm just saying there was a deeper connection made there mm-hmm. that I'm just fascinated, like, what his upbringing was like that led to that.
That you know is interesting. Maybe Muggs can help us.
And can I take it a step further? I think the reason why Muggs doesn't maybe have that interest in older women is that we've learned on Loveline, if you listen to Muggs, you know Muggs, he's the caregiver. He wants to be the caregiver.
He's a fixer.
Yeah. So like he doesn't want someone caregiving for him, right?
But do you want someone to caregive you?
Yeah, I think so. I don't want to be fully the caregiver. I would like to I like reciprocation, right? 50-50.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like to be fully taken care of, but I also, you know, want to take some care of whoever the partner is, you know?
And just like Bono, he still hasn't found what he's looking for.
Wow.
So an interesting research found, and you know, even though we've been talking about like quote unquote aging women, research found that actually older women that are like older than 35 mm-hmm. tend to feel the most sexually assertive mm-hmm. And at their sexual peak. So when it comes to the phenomenon of older women dating younger men, oftentimes the younger men will feel more desirable.
Well, this is 110% true.
Yeah.
But do you think that there's any negative to the younger men fetishizing the older woman sexually for the novelty factor, and then the older woman in like sort of internalizing it as some sort of like self-validation? Is there anything bad about that?
Yeah, I mean, fetishization is bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That's why I'm bringing it up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But in general, yes, it is bad, but I don't think it is in this case, just because they've now been married for what, 13 years? Like, he would have left a long time ago.
Oh, no, this is amazing. I'm happy for these two people. I'm happy for anybody that can find somebody.
It is such a controversial relationship.
Why is it controversial?
Every time I'm on TikTok, there's a ton of hate.
Why?
A ton of hate on this woman.
Why?
Because she's old. Older.
Like, but who's hating on her, women?
Yeah,
it's women.
Yeah,
it's not
a lot
men.
Of women in the comments saying, because he's in the recent horror movie Nosferatu.
Oh yeah,
have you seen that poster?
No.
What, you haven't?
What is that?
Is with what?
I'm like
you
living
don't know
life.
What Nosferatu is
no.
Dude?
What?
No.
Is with Lily Rose Depp, Johnny yeah. Depp's daughter.
All right.
Well, it's a huge movie.
Okay.
And he's in it, and people are saying that she's Nosferatu, like she's a horror, like. It's really sad. It's sad how many women are attacking her because she's dating a hot guy.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's weird.
It's really sad.
That's really weird.
I dislike
why do women
this,
do
like,
that so
competitiveness.
Why do women tear each other down like that? I mean, I guess, you know, there's always the devil's advocate that'll see this clip and go, oh, it's men too. But I do feel like women, like I've been in the presence of women and they'll see maybe like an overweight woman with a skinny guy. And it, like a single friend of mine will be like, I don't understand that at all, you know? And I'll go, well, I don't know. Maybe like she makes him happy, you know? I don't know.
It's socialization. It's just like years and years and multiple generations of socialization of how we should feel, how we should think, how we should be competitive towards each other. And the more you work on yourself and the more enlightened you become, the more empowered you become, you don't do those things. You don't compare yourself to other women. You don't tear them down. But there are a lot of women that don't work on themselves.
Right.
And they have, you know, low self-esteem.
Well, speaking of women and sexual health, Amy Schumer made a scary sexual confession. Now, what would you deem a scary sexual confession, Dr. Tara?
That she has, like, an incurable STD.
That's scary. That would be scary.
Yeah.
What is an incurable STD?
AIDS.
AIDS.
I would be scared.
Yeah, if you had AIDS.
Yeah.
I saw something that somebody was saying that, like, HIV... What do you... HIV becomes AIDS? Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I heard something recently where, like, HIV doesn't always... nowadays...
Right, you can treat it, yeah.
Yeah, where it doesn't transcend into AIDS. But yeah, that would be scary. Okay.
Is it AIDS?
It's not AIDS. Muggs, okay. Do you have a guess? No, he's on the phone. Okay. All right, well, scary?
Yeah.
It's not AIDS. You want to hear it?
Yes.
Okay, listen to this. This is Amy Schumer.
I have never from penetration, ma'am. It's a scary thing to say out loud.
No, it's not.
I mean, it's scary because nobody talks about it, you know, because we're all like, you know, getting an Oscar. But
getting an Oscar.
But no, I, you know, I've had generous partners who understand like that, you know, I need to orgasm first.
Yes.
And I know you subscribe to that.
100%.
On your Wikipedia.
Okay, so I believe she was on the Call Her Daddy podcast. And so that's, to me, I go, that's not scary. Why is that scary?
Not scary.
That's not scary, yeah. Right? Why?
But maybe,
well, I don't want to say, like, you know, she might be going through something.
I think we are desensitized because we talk about this on our show.
Yeah, maybe.
But like for the average person, it's probably scary.
Is it scary? Like, is it scary because like her exes might hear this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the judgment.
Right.
Of like, oh, wow. So all those times you were faking, right?
Well, why can't women, or why do women struggle like physiologically?
Yeah.
From penetrative orgasm.
Yeah.
Or sorry, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yes, vaginal orgasm.
Yeah.
Because, you know, our clitoris is like the penis. And if our clitoris is not stimulated, we cannot orgasm. Because to have an orgasm, you have to be stimulated clitorally.
Okay. Right on. sorry, there's a lot going on here.
A lot going on. We have a call, though, for next segment, if you want to go to it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what do you want me to go to break right now? Okay. So okay, we're gonna take a break.
Yep.
And then, what do you want to tease? What this caller is?
Yeah, it's a great question. She's a young lady from the Valley, wants to know if dating an older man with a kid is a good idea. Not only one kid, but two
kids.
Is this your girlfriend?
Okay. No. And this is what we're going to break early for. So this better be good, Muggs. We'll get into this call coming up next on Loveline.
Hurry, come on, K-Rock. We need guidance.
I'm calling Loveline.
I'm calling Loveline.
Loveline on K-Rock.
Back to Loveline with Kevin Kenny and Dr. Tara. Call or text 833-LOVE-191.
You ready to get kinky? K-Rock.
That's a lot to live up to. It is Kevin Kenny, as they just said, with Dr. Tara. And we've been talking about age gap relationships tonight. We were talking about Aaron Taylor Johnson, an actor, and his elder wife. And that relationship, we're also talking about sort of aging out of certain roles in Hollywood and how sort of misogynistic the entertainment industry can be. And the new film, The Substance, that is out now. Before I get to this caller we have, who wants to know if it's a good idea for a woman to be dating an older man with a child, which is very interesting, don't you think, Dr. Tara?
Yeah, but not uncommon. Lots of women are dating men with children.
Now let's get to our friend Asha from Winnetka, right here in the Los Angeles area, and see if we have Asha on the line. Asha, are you there?
Hello.
Hey, how are you? Happy Sunday night.
Happy Sunday.
So lay it on me. What we've understood is you are wondering if it's a good idea for a woman like you to be dating an older man with multiple children.
So I'm seeing someone, right? I'm 24. He is a little bit older. He's only 26. But he has one biological child, technically two.
What do you mean technically?
He took another child on. So the woman he had a child by, he took in her other child. So either he has a really big heart or he's like stupid. I'm not sure.
Well, what do you think? Is he a nice guy? Well, first off, how'd you meet this guy?
I met him on Halloween.
Where? At a bar?
Yes.
Okay. What did you go as?
He was... I was actually a vampire.
Okay, what was he?
Nothing.
Oh, he was just... Oh, he's one of those guys. He doesn't get dressed up?
He's not participating.
I kind of like that.
Okay, all right, that's cool. And then, so how long have you been seeing this guy?
Since Halloween.
This year. Oh. So this is a Halloween of 2024.
Yes.
Okay, very cool.
Very new.
Okay. And then so he's only 2 years older than you. So let's address this kind of in steps. I don't consider that an older man.
No.
Okay. So that
I don't either.
So don't worry about that, Asha. Like, don't worry about the fact that he's 2 years older. That's fine. You were in high school at the same time. Totally fine. So he has one.
Literally, I don't find him like a much older man. I don't even think that.
So he has one biological child. How old is the child?
She's six.
Okay. Wow. So six. He's 26. So he had him at 20. And then the other child. When you say he has another child, this is the child lives with him.
No.
So what do you mean he has an other child?
So neither children live with him.
Okay.
Let me give it to you in a layman terms.
Okay.
So his baby mama.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Has a baby with his baby mama. She had another kid. And the father for that child is absent. So therefore, he kind of stepped up for that child. And him and his baby mama are no longer together. But... He's still there for him.
Wait, so do they have like half custody?
I don't know the linguistics of it.
Yeah. So what I'm understanding is this woman he dated, his ex, already had an existing child, correct?
Yes.
So he starts dating her, and then that child, how old's that child compared to the 6 year old? Probably eight or.
I don't know, but I believe he may be like 1 or 2 years older.
Oh, so you haven't even met these kids?
No.
Oh, okay. So this is now, do some quick math for me, Dr. Tara. October to now is 3 months.
Yeah.
We're coming up on 3 months on the 31st. So you've been dating this guy 3 months. And are you under the impression that you are exclusive with this guy?
It's seeming that way.
Okay. Would you like it to be exclusive?
And that's why I'm calling, because
you don't know. You don't know if you want to make it exclusive.
Right. I think he's really cool. I like everything about him. I've had like brief conversations with his daughter on the phone, which is I don't want to say weird, but I remember being a little girl and I remember being like very protective of my parents and it's just.
So why did they break up?
Myself too much.
Asha, why did he and the ex break up? So you don't know how old one of his kids is. You don't know why they broke up. I mean, what do you guys talk about when you hang out? What do you guys talk about?
Everything else. I think I've kind of tiptoed and avoided those questions because I was kind of afraid of the answer, maybe.
Yeah. Mm. Now, have you ever dated before? Or is this your first foray into dating?
No, I've dated before.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Some 24 year olds haven't. No, I know. Some people haven't. So are you like that in a lot of your past interactions with men? Like, you don't like to, like, talk about, you know...
The nitty-gritty.
Yeah, the nitty-gritty, as they say?
I think I have too much, maybe too early, so maybe that's why I'm kind of...
Oh, now you're a little gun-shy. Well, here's the thing.
Maybe a little bit.
It doesn't sound like you're in any position to become exclusive.
And if you are not even talking about these, I mean, I don't even know if they're deep things, just sort of chapter two.
No, they're not.
Yeah. Like, I just think if you were to go to this guy and say, hey, you know, I want to be social, he's not going to, he sounds like he doesn't feel a connection to you either at this point, but I think you should start.
I'm hanging up.
Okay. Well, no, I mean, I'm just, like, it's my opinion, right? I think that you, if you want, I think instead of wondering if it's bad he has a kid, I think it's bad you guys aren't talking about this stuff, and I think you need to talk about this stuff before you even entertain, like, exclusivity.
Right. I mean, he's definitely brought it up. He's talked about her, talked about their relationship. I just didn't ask, like, the narrowing questions.
Well, how does he talk about it? Like, is it positively, negatively?
It's like both, which I feel like is natural, maybe.
Okay. I mean, he obviously liked her enough or had such a connection with these kids. I mean, does he come from a well-off family?
No.
Does he have a good job?
She?
No, he. The guy you're dating. Does he have a good job?
She has, like, he's like, he does, like, electrical work and stuff like that.
Oh, you guys should make pretty good money doing that.
Yeah.
And then what does the ex do?
I have no idea.
Yeah, you got to know these answers, Asha.
Why does she have to know what her occupation was?
I don't want to pry about this.
Let me paint you a picture that is like a little bit more realistic than, you know, whatever Dr. Tara is about to say, which is going to be like sort of high in the sky.
From what I've gathered,
I assume she does. Not much.
Okay, so here's why it's important, right? To Dr. Tara questioning me or you questioning me, I can't keep track now. What's important is that if this is a deadbeat lady and she is mooching off of the guy that you want to date, and now he's taking care of both their biological child and then another child, and she has no plans of getting a job or gainful employment or a way to support the child that is biologically hers, then that's going to create issues for you and this guy. Mm-hmm. And then I don't care what anybody says. If you have children with somebody, there's always a connection there. Mm-hmm. And there are, if the baby mom is in the picture, I mean, I don't know if this is love of your life, but if the baby mom is in the picture, there are a lot of other options. That's mm-hmm. all I'm going to say. I know that sounds cold.
Wait a minute. Let me add this, though.
Okay.
Another layer.
Okay.
I believe that she has a partner.
Okay.
I feel like. Okay.
How serious, though? You know what I mean?
They live together.
Then why isn't that guy taking care of this kid?
Good point.
Well, because you can't just pass on one kid to another. They met each other. He brought this kid on. And, you know, like...
He bonded with his child. You know, this child sees him as his father.
Stepchild.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Like a stepkid. Like, it's just... That's just... what it is, you know?
Okay, my question is, how strong is your attraction for him minus the situation, just to him? From 1 to 10.
10.
Your attraction 10? To him is 10
this
out of 10.
Is, dude, no. Your attraction is 10?
You said outside of this situation.
But 10? Like, this is like your dream guy?
Okay, now with the kids in the situation.
Why are you so judgy?
10 attraction.
Yeah.
What's the number with the kids in the situation, Asha?
What do you mean?
Like, what do you rate him? Yeah.
Did your attraction towards him change with the situation?
Well, because I just don't know how to go about it, which is why I'm calling and asking.
Yeah, of course.
So, maybe like... 7.5.
So the kids is a big thing because mm-hmm. she hesitated there and she and said 10 the other time.
It's not a big thing. It's mm-hmm. just that, I don't know. Like, I've worked with kids before. I know how kids work. I just think it's a big thing for them. So therefore, it's like a big thing for me. So I just don't, you know?
And it's a huge part of, like, a relationship needs attention and resources. So him absolutely. Having two children, as well as a previous relationship, co-parenting, that's going to take away attention and resources from your relationship. I guess, do you like this person enough to go through all that this year together?
I'm fine with it as long as, like a lot of investment on your part.
Well, emotional investment and time.
Muggs, can you pull? I don't know if we can do this, how quickly. There's a great dialogue from Jerry Maguire between Cuba Gooding Jr.'s character and Tom Cruise's character. And he talks about how when you're dating somebody with a child, it's different, right? Like, you've got to be honest and you've got to, you know.
It is different.
It is different. And so I just want to, like, not to speak for the child, but, you know, I would just say, this should probably be someone that you legitimately, Asha, and again, I just met you on the phone. I don't know how good your judgment is, but if, no, I'm not making, but I'm, you don't, no, I'm being serious.
What was the giggle for? Like,
she's in a, can I be honest, Asha? I don't know what she took before the broadcast tonight. She's been giggling at everything tonight.
Not too much on my girl, though. It's fine.
No, but Asha, no, in all seriousness, you need to take it pretty seriously because you are, and I mean this, I don't mean this in a negative way, you are going to disrupt the child's lives in the sense of, like, this is a new variable. This is a new element.
Yes.
This is something where children really do cling to consistency when you're growing up, as we all did too. And this is going to disrupt that consistency. So you have to go, why do you like this guy? Why is he a 10 out of 10? And, you know, he sounds amazing. If he's doing this out of the kindness of his heart and he is that much of a man where he wakes up every day at the crack of dawn and he goes and does, you know, trade work and he's putting food on his table and food of the food on the table of other people's children, including his own, that guy's amazing. I think that's a pretty rare kind of guy. I think you could. I think you should do it with this guy. But if it's not that.
Oh, I've done it. I'm just kidding.
Was it good?
It was amazing.
Wow. Well, that makes sense.
Are you using protection? Are you using protection?
10 out of 10.
Are you using protection? Are you using protection? No.
You said that like 4 times.
I know she's not saying anything.
I know. I'm like, not anymore.
Asha, man. What?
Is that bad?
Are you on the pill?
I am on birth control.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, third kid coming in soon.
Does anybody use protection anymore if they're on birth control?
Some people still do, especially if you're, like, casual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have trust issues with people before I was, like, you know. Like
when you were single, did you use condoms?
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
As you should.
Well, just, like, it just, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's your prerogative, of course, Asha.
I feel like this generation of men, like, they will convince you not to use one.
Yeah, of course. This guy's already convinced somebody that. You're like, that's what the six-year-old's
for. Not him.
Yeah, but he's already convinced someone to do that because there's a six-year-old.
Oh, you're protecting him, so you're, like, already emotionally attached.
Oh, God.
What is your last relationship, Asha? Before this guy. See, she's got to think about it. There haven't been many.
I know the answer.
Then why don't you say it?
So, my last relationship was very complicated, and it was about 3 months before I met him that I, like, kind of ended things with that person.
I don't love this now, because why was it complicated?
Okay.
Short version, because we're on the radio.
Okay. He was a 48-year-old man.
And you're worried about 24? Wait, hold on.
You were 22?
Oh, yeah. No, I was, yes, I was actually 23 to 24 when I saw him.
And he was 40?
He was 47, 48.
Okay. And where'd you meet that guy?
Can you guess?
A bar. You people in these bars.
Is it the same bar as Mux?
No.
Is it Mux? Is Mux?
No,
Mux? Are you 47?
I am the father.
Asha, can I just, because we do have to get some other questions, and I want to give you the best advice that at least I think I can give you, is you got out of a relationship that sounds like, in your own words, was a problematic relationship, and it was complicated, right, with a 48-year-old guy.
It just wasn't. Yeah.
Okay. So then 3 months later, you meet this other guy and you're trying to make this guy the solution to all of your problems. And the reason I'm so confident in saying that is you told us he is a 10 out of 10 attraction scale, which to me is just so unlikely. And just from an odds perspective, that you would, 3 months after breaking up with this complicated relationship, you would meet the 10 out of 10 guy for you, right? And this guy is very complicated.
Well, I didn't say all that. You just asked me, like, on an attraction scale.
I know, but Asha, what I'm saying is this guy, you may be inadvertently making this guy you're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. And this guy might not be the solution you're looking for, but you are probably looking for a solution. But it might not be this guy.
Mm. She's thinking about it.
Just think about it. Because you know what I'm trying to say? It's like,
no, I did also grow up without a father. So maybe. I don't know.
Well, and so think about this. You probably... Wait, so you never knew your dad?
Never.
You never ever like met him? Nothing like that?
No.
Okay. So maybe your over-accommodation with men, right, is tied to that. Wanting to please a man because you never got the opportunity to make your dad proud. Maybe.
I don't think I make them very happy.
You don't think you make the men you date happy?
I don't know. Like, I'm definitely a handful in my own way.
Right.
And I don't think it's easy.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think you predominantly satisfy the men through sex?
Yeah, maybe.
Right, so I'm just, you know. By the way, no one's judging you. You're on Loveline. I just think it's helpful for any of us to go. I do that.
Yeah, we listen,
wow,
but we don't judge.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
listen when we don't judge.
There you
exactly.
go. There you go. Yeah. So, yeah, just maybe be aware of that, because I think if you're aware of your hangups and why you do the things you do, mm-hmm. I learned through therapy. I grew up in a crazy, chaotic household, and so when things are calm, mm-hmm. I have a beautiful, loving girlfriend who's very calm, mm-hmm. right? And when things are a little too calm, I'm like, "What's going on? What's wrong?"
Chaos,
and
yeah.
Yes, and I will create that chaos. Mm-hmm. Or in the past,
you know, I'm very well aware of, like, I remember reading this thing that people that grew up like in chaotic, you know, maybe like a little dysfunctional stuff, we're very drawn to like dysfunctional stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's like familiar,
it's
and
familiar.
It's normal.
Yeah.
And yeah. Even if the unfamiliar is like healthy and good for you, like, it's weird to us because it's like unfamiliar.
100%. This is why people
I'm aware of it. I hate being aware.
No, I know, but please run towards that light of awareness,
yes,
Asha.
It's good for you.
You don't want to be these people who are unaware. First of all, the people I hate the most in the world are self-unaware people. Are they not the worst people? The people that talk, you know, they have no idea of how
zero
awful
self-aware
they
yeah.
are. Zero self-awareness.
I feel like they're faking because there's like no way.
I marvel at it too, especially in this town. People you will meet in this town,
people, yeah,
and you're just like, you're like, you're in on the bit, right? Like, you're in on this.
What?
And then you go,
yeah.
Oh, no, you're not.
No.
You don't realize how awful you are. So, anyways.
I'm just like slowly back away from.
Yeah, the Homer Simpson move, of course. Of course.
Yeah, in the bush.
No, but if you really just, I think you should run to that awareness because I think it's good. And I think it's good that you've heard that advice. I learned it in therapy of like how much we value the familiar, because that's why people will know I've got a drinking problem. I've got a smoking problem. But it's like the familiar solution is like the smoke, the drink. You know what I mean? And they know.
Why are you looking at me, dude?
No, I'm not. I do hope you stop smoking, though, because I love you.
Tara's reaction.
Yeah, it was sweet, but she's she's laughing when I'm trying to be earnest. I don't know what she drank, but don't drink it again.
I really do think that the situation seems really complicated, Asha, especially for someone so young. Speaking from experience, like in your 20s is such a good time for exploration and also like, you know, a lot of self-exploration, like learning about yourself. So try not to get stuck into like too complicated of a situation and relationship this young, but explore and also grow, because I love this saying the most, grow a garden and the butterflies will come.
Yes.
Lame.
You want to know what my grandma used to say?
Yes.
She used to tell me, why make one man miserable when you can make a bunch of them happy?
Oh, interesting. Well,
her grandma ran the bunny ranch.
If you want to date a 40-something-year-old man with a child, we have one here.
No, is your grandma Heidi Fleiss?
Hey, Asha, in all seriousness, I mean, we're telling jokes here, but you said you're 24 years old?
Yes.
Okay, so I have two questions for you. Number one, what are you passionate about in your life? Like, personally, what do you enjoy doing? Do you have a goal, or do you have anything you enjoy doing in your life?
I do.
What is it?
Honestly,
yeah,
I love making people laugh.
Okay.
I love writing. So honestly, like, I look at my future like endeavors, and maybe it might be something to combine the two.
Okay, like comedy writing or something to that effect.
Yeah, and like I like drinking, so like, you know, I think it goes hand in hand. Like,
yeah, well, yeah,
like,
yeah, 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 yeah.
Every 24-year-old life
but
loves
here's
drinking.
every 24-year-old artist, and you probably are a creative artist, they think they have to be this like tragic character, like they need to drink a lot, or
no,
you know.
I hate being a victim.
Right.
I hate feeling sorry for myself. I don't like that.
Or like self-deprecation.
Here's what I just need to leave you with, though, Asha, is that you're 24 years old. If you, instead of like trying to please men, or instead of trying to date men, or trying to meet men, or get the validation of picking up guys, or guys choosing you at this local bar, because I'm sure in the moment that feels great.
First off, I did not meet these two people at the same bar.
Okay, but I'm just saying. Overall, Asha, we're trying to give real actionable advice here, if you can focus for a moment. So you're 24, and instead of putting your validation and your merit in how many men choose you at whatever bar, because I know that's probably a great feeling, put that validation in writing better, and put that validation in honing your comedy skills, and then that's going to be twofold, because then you're not going to ruin yourself and become this jaded person through all these terrible experiences in your 20s, where by the time you're 30, no one wants to date you because of that, and by the time you're 30, you'll probably have a career in comedy or have a career in writing because you took those steps. So I think it's like it's twofold better than kind of being on this cycle you're on now, whether you want to admit it or not, which is you go from one complicated situation to another.
Build a garden and the butterflies will come.
Or do that.
Yeah, again.
Yeah. Full circle.
Yeah.
So, Asha. Okay. If you, and again, we're always here on, and I don't mean to plug the social, like I'm not saying in a sticky way, but we are always here. Dr. Tar is always there on social, and you can always call back, you know, whenever you want, if you want to talk to Dr. Tara, on Loveline.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sound good?
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I totally, of course. I forgot who said it, like what female writer said this, but she also said, like, when you want to talk to a man, you're ignoring your creativity. I do remember that.
Interesting.
I remember that. And hey, Asha, if I can just add one other thing, is just from like the dude point of view, I remember meeting a girl who was a comedian, a writer here in Los Angeles, and was very promiscuous and very like would just text me like, you know, very sexually direct things.
Wait,
right?
Hold on now.
And so, anyways, I almost wanted to tell her like, hey, you're awesome. You don't need to do all this stuff. Like, I almost felt like she had to do all. So I'm just saying, like, you might be good enough. You don't have to, like, please all these guys. They might just like you.
But some people might just like sex.
I'm like, well, there's not all these guys. Like, wait a minute. Like, let's not.
Okay. Then that's good.
Maybe the girl that texted you just likes sex.
That's fine too, but I mean,
there's reality. Like she's trying to please you.
No, she can like sex, Dr. Tara, but I'm saying there also is a long track record of problematic female behavior that uses sex as a vehicle to please people,
right?
So that they get validation. Are we going to ignore that fact?
No, that's true.
That's true.
But there's also tons of women that just like sex.
Of course. But on the show, are we going to do a disservice by not acknowledging that there might be concerns with certain types of behavior?
Yeah, I'm acknowledging both.
All right. That's all I'm saying. Asha, we love you. We got to run. We're getting the rap sign. Dr. Tara, where can Asha and plenty of other people find you on social media?
Yes, I'm on social media at lovebites.co. That's LUVBITES.CO.
Amazing. We'll be back next week with another Loveline.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on Loveline are not necessarily those of staff, management, sponsors, or the station.
Loveline is produced and engineered by Jonathan Beermug Cantrell. Loveline is a presentation of the world-famous K-Rock.